Today's daf is daf tzadi ches, so let's take it from the bottom of tzadi zayin. I'm going to base the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hamocher yain lechavero v'hichmetz." A person sells wine to his friend, and it goes bad. Eino chayev achriso, he's not obligated to pay him back. That's what happens. When he sold, the Rashbam explains, "Eino chayev hamocher b'achrayos," because the mishas mechira yain hava, it was wine, and it happened to change in your possession. I'm not responsible. It's your damaged goods now. But v'miyadua sheyainu machmitz, if he's aware that his wine goes bad, and he didn't tell him that it goes bad, that's just the way it works. That it's not fresh wine, it doesn't have the preservatives in it. So then hareze mekachtos, and then when it goes bad, the mocher is responsible to pay him back the money. Vim amrlo, if the lokach requests from the mocha, "I want yain mevusam, I want wine that's mevusam," literally means spiced, which Rashbam explains to mean on the top of tzadiches, it means sheyiskayim keder hamiskayimim. That they want it to last a little bit longer. So how long does it have to last for? Ani mochalcha, I'm selling you a yain mevusam. Says the Mishnah, that means chayiv la'amid lo ad ha'atzeres, has to be able to stand up until atzeres. Says Rashbam ad atzeres, which is shavuos, of course. Avalo min ha'atzeres me'ilach, it doesn't have to be able to stay longer than shavuos, because shechom tkufas tamus, the summer months, which are very hot, obviously, mekalkel afil yain mevusam, even yain mevusam, which has been made flavored and seasoned, that also won't be able to last through the summer. If you want a higher grade, you have to ask for something more than that. But stam yain mevusam means to last until atzeres. Right? The new grapes and new wines probably were ready sukkis time, so I want it to last from sukkis until atzeres. So that's yain mevusam. And then the Mishnah says, if the guy says, "I'm selling you yain yashan," so then yashan, now an older, aged wine, so that means a mishel eshaket, from the year beforehand. I want a 1-year-old bottle of wine. And if he asks him, muyushan, so that's even more, mishel shalosham, from 3 years ago. So these are the different terminology that were used when buying and selling wine. So Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Hanina, lo shanu ela bekankanim delokeach." This whole discussion here, when the mocher is not responsible to pay if the wine goes bad, it's only if it was kept in the bottles of the buyer. He bought the wine, and then he transported all the wine to his house and put them all into his own barrels. So then the mocher is not responsible, says Rashbam, ela bekankanim halokeach. Since they were in the bottles of lokeach, shekibo lokeach hayayin bechavyuso. He put the wine into his own bottles now. Dikel Veimar, Caleb Garmu. You could claim that it's Lokeach's fault, that it's his Caleb, and the Mocher wouldn't be responsible. Now that's how the Rashbam says. Other Rishonim say the reason is because since he moved it, we spoke about last year, like transporting and moving and shaking it, and all the oxygen is going to make the wine get worse sooner, it's because he took it out of the bottle, opened it up, it lost its its stability, and moved it to another bottle. That was the problem. So Machlok is exactly what the problem is. Is it because he moved it, or is it because it's now in the bottles of the Lokeach, and maybe those bottles and barrels aren't good enough to preserve the wine? But the Gemara says, "Aval bekan karnim de mocher." If they remained in the bottles of the original bottles that the mocher had them in, so then could claim it's all the mocher's fault. And when it goes bad, then he would have to refund it. Fine. So the Gemara now says, "Aval bekan karnim de mocher." Amar lei hacham recha v'hakan kincha. The lokach said, "This is your wine, and it's also your bottles. So it's not my fault. You should have to pay me back the full amount." And in fact, he does have to pay back the full amount. So then the Gemara says, "V'chikan kanim hademocher may havi." So even if it is in the original bottles of the mocher, why would the mocher be responsible? Le'mele, the mocher should say, "Lo ibay lecha l'shuye." You should not have let the wine bottle stay. I don't know about you, but I bought, Pesach time, I buy a lot of bottles of wine, and there's always leftovers. So if I leave it over for 6 months, that wine actually ends up getting bad. If it's not refrigerated, it goes bad. You see in the bottom, some of the wine ends up, it looks like, I'm not sure it is sediment, it looks like sediment. It gets, it starts to stain the bottom of the bottle there. So if I go back to the store and say, "Listen, you gave me a bad bottle of wine," they'll tell me, "You shouldn't have held on to it for 6 months. It's meant to be, to drink within the first 6 months." So the mocher says, "Not my fault. Why do you wait so long to use the wine? I'm not responsible anymore." So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha damle lemikpa." Where the guy says, "I'm buying wine. I want to use it to season and to flavor my food." And we saw last time, when it's used for flavor, you leave it. You only use a little bit of wine in each recipe, so it's going to last over the course of a number of months, if not a number of years. So you were aware that I was buying it for the mikvah, and you should have sold me a wine that's able to remain for much longer than that. So that's the explanation as to why the mocha is responsible, since he was aware that, again, he's buying it lemikvah, he should have given him a wine that lasts for much longer. So Gemara says, "My docha the Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina." Why did Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina feel the need la'ok mid l'masnisim to establish that our Mishnah is referring to b'kan karam delokach, where the reason why the mocher where it's transported rather to the barrels and the bottles of the lokach udamerle l'mikva, and he requested that it be used for seasoning. Why not say the Mishnah is lok mid b'kan karam democher, where the wine remained in the bottles of the mocha, the original bottles, and he never requested it for seasoning. Right, so look at the Rashbam here, the last six narrow lines here. Rashbam explains, "My doch kad the Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina leokmin." Why did he feel the need to say that our Mishnah is a case of the Reisha the Masnis in the beginning of the Mishnah is bekankanim delokach, and since it was moved to the kankanim lokach lechud v'lo bekankanim democher, and it wasn't in the original bottles of the mocher mishum demoki la masizim medamalei lemikva, because we're saying now that our Mishnah is a case where he wanted to use the wine to flavor. Why not? So again, what's the case here? So we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, if it goes bad, the mocher is responsible. But if he's not responsible, because we said he moved it to you should have kept him in the original bottles. Why do you move it to your own bottles? That's the case. And we said it's a situation where he requested it to use for the flavoring. But lokme, why not say the Mishnah is a case b'delo amar le mikvah? Maybe the lokach never requested it. I want to hold on to the wine for a while. I'm not using it for flavoring. I'm using it to drink. The mocher yain stam katani doesn't say why he was selling it. V'lo shna kan karam de lokeach, v'lo shna kan de mocher. Who cares which bottle it's in? Katani masisin de ein mocher chayv b'achyusa mishim de lo ibar le yeshuye. Why don't you say very simply that our Mishnah is a case where he sold bottles of wine and it went bad, so I'm not responsible. You should not have held on to it. Why are we saying it's a case again where it went to the bottles of the lokeach, but he requested it to be longer, which is kind of two opposites? So the Gemara ends up saying because as follows. Where are we on the Gemara now? Hold on one second. So the Gemara says again, Amar Rava Masis and Kashisa, that's the answer. Because Rava says the Mishnah had a difficulty. Dikatani, im yadua sheyeno machmit hareza mekachtos. The Sefer, the Mishnah said, if the Mocher was aware that this wine goes bad pretty quickly, so then that's a mekachtos because he didn't tell the Lokeach. So Amai, say to him, Loi bar lechale shuye. Why not simply say you shouldn't have waited? The mocher should never be responsible. When you sell a bottle of wine, you expect the guy to drink it. Remember, a lot of the times they didn't drink water back there. The water wasn't safe to drink. Wine was the main staple. So you'd imagine he drinks it quickly. So never should the mocher be responsible. Even if it's something that quickly goes bad, I expect you to buy the bottle and finish it by the week or by in 2-3 weeks or so. Why is the mocher ever responsible? It must be there's a certain reason why the mocher has to be aware that the lokeach is using it for much longer than the typical use. So ela lav shma mina must be a case damarlei lemikva shma mina. That must be a case where the lokeach stated he wanted to use it to flavor and to season his food, and therefore it's understood to be for longer. So since that's the case, that's the difference between kankanim de mocher, kankanim de lokeach. Fine. Now the Gemara says, "Upliga de Rav Chia bar Rav Yosef." He argues and says, "Amar Rav Chia bar Yosef Chamra Mazla de Mare Garam." He says, "I don't care whose bottle it's in. I don't care what the reason you're buying it for. It's always the fault of the owner of the wine, because the pasuk we saw Rashbam alluded to this a couple days ago. The pasuk says, "V'af keyain boged gever yahir v'gomer." That the wine rebels literally to the one who's yahir, the ones who bal gaiva. And it's a connection, there's a connection to the wine, to he, the gever, the one who owns the wine. And it's all about mazel. So that's Rabbi Chiya's understanding, as opposed to, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, it depends on why you're usually buying the wine and whose bottles they are in. So that's the machlokas, how to understand the Mishnah. Gemara now says, Amar of Meri, Hai man de yahir, the one who's yahir, lashon yahura, lashon of gaiva, a person who's a gasas ruach, about gaiva hodi, Afilu Inshe Besa Lo Mekabe. Even the people of his house. Now, you would imagine Inshe Besa referred to his whole family. For some reason, Rashbam felt the need to say this is referring to his Ishto, his wife in particular. So, a person who's a Baal Gaiva, even his wife won't be Mekabe, he won't accept what he says. And Rashbam says, Mevaze also will disgrace him for being a Baal Gaiva. And quote to our Pasuk, Shenamar Gever Yahir Velo Yinveh. What's Lo Yinveh? Mai Lo Yinveh Binava Shalo. A Gever Yahir, a person who is a Baal Gaiva, Lo Yinveh, he won't have anything. Nave is a Lush, it's a house, a bias. It refers to a house. He won't have any success or any, I don't know, any Nachas Ruach in his own bias. And the Rashbam says here, look at Rashbam Shenamar, it's six wide lines down. He says, what's the reason for this? About Gaiva, why does his wife not respect him? He says, Shenamar v'af ke yain bogeid ba'adam, lama mishum de gever yahir. Why does the wine go bad? Because he's about Gaiva. And gavasel shel adam shemagis daito bedavar shein bo, persons who about Gaiva about something that he doesn't have. Gorim shayayin bogeid bo, it causes the wine to go bad, because the svurim shahu yain v'nim sechomets mida kenega mida. This is going back to the previous Rashbam, sorry. But he says it's a mida kenegan mida. Since you were having something that you are, you know, present yourself as wine, but you're really chometz, so too your wine is going to turn to chometz. Okay, weiter now. The Gemara says further, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Kol amis gaeh betala shel tamil chacham, a person who wears the clothing of a tamil chacham, ve'eno tamil chacham, but he's not a tamil chacham. He's not let in into the inner circle, to the inner walls of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ksiv hacha v'lo yinveh, u'ksiv ha'asam el niveh kodshecha. So lo yinveh is our pasuk about a Baal Gaiva. It's a gzeir shavah to the pasuk el niveh kodshecha. Is not let into the holy home, the holy house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So,
look at the Rashbam, the Gemara Bava Basra, actually in Cheskas Abatim, this is a while ago, around a month ago, Rashbam quotes, De'ovid kedamin becheskas abatim, dafnun zayin, tal shel tamen chacham is a ketzad. How does it work? Kol she'en chaluko nira mitachtav tefach. If his cloak is not seen below his jacket or coat, a tefach, and gasas hu lemisha eno tamen chacham. Sorry, tsniusa yisei rasahu, the special level of covering and tsnius. So a person who wears a frock, let's say, and he's not really worthy to wear a frock, so then I've seen people who like wear frocks. I'm not one to judge, but someone wears a frock and they really shouldn't be wearing a frock. That's what the Gemara seems to be talking about over here. You can tell the rocks are a little bit longer.
Rock and a Hamburg also.
Hamburg, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, just found out that there is different shape of hats for Rosh Hashivas.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, I saw guys, somebody standing there, so I said, oh, these guys are Rosh Hashivas. I think the shape of the hat, so when you become Rosh Hashiva, you have to change the hat.
Which I know such things.
Hamburg, yeah,
Okay. Fine. So that's the that's a misgah b'tal shatam chacham. The Marsha says the idea is here. The Maharal rather. The Maharal says that the way a person normally gets into mechitzas shel Chodesh Baruch Hu is by being medabek to a tam chacham, kind of holding on to the tail of his coat, and you get pulled in as well. When a person holds himself as a Talmud Chacham, and he's not willing to be medabek in someone else, so he thinks he's a Talmud Chacham, no one's bringing him in, that's how he doesn't get inside the Mechitzaso shell, the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Gvar now says, Amar Rava, Hayman dezavin le chavisa de chamra le chanva, de adaita le svuye. Person sells, it's a wholesaler guy, he's a wine producer, he sells it to a store, a retail store. And the deal is, Rashbam explains that the I'm getting all the money, I'm the manufacturer, but he's getting money for all the tircha as a shliach of mine. So look at the Rashbam, he just explains all this, that the schar is, he gets a little bit of schar, he doesn't make much money, but he makes a little bit of a schar for the tircha. That's the setup that we have. And the Gemara explains, v'tokif apalgo tilsa, half of it goes bad, or a third of the wine goes bad. Dinahu de mekabale mine. So me, as the manufacturer of the wine, I'm the one, I take upon myself the damage. I can't, it's not fair that the chanus, the chenvani, loses out the money. I need to lose the money. Why? What's the reason for this? So Rashbam explains, dinahu de mekabel, it's around halfway down the wide lines, four words in, dinahu de mekabel, baal habayis kol hefsed. It's appropriate that the baal habayis, meaning the wholesaler, has to take upon himself all the loss. The kagon shel pasha shliach has to be, of course, for the shliach to make a mistake. If he left it out in the sun, that's the chenvani's responsibility. Tainu chenvani midei b'shlichus, so he didn't make any mistakes. So the Baal HaBayis, the manufacturer is the one responsible. V'afki haya in boged, maybe you should say, well, it's in the Chenvani's possession, so don't we say the wine rebels to the person who's not worthy? So isn't the Chenvani the Baal now? No, lekel meimer gavi Chenvani. You can't say that the Chenvani is the owner of the wine. He has no ownership. He's just he's just like the Amazon. He's the one people are going through, but he doesn't own the wine in the middle. And v'lakhan kanchalo, and the bottles aren't his either. They're still in the original packaging. So therefore, ika bishus mare kama is, it's still in the possession of the wholesaler, and therefore the wholesaler takes on the full loss, and I guess he still has to pay the chenvani the potential money he would have gained from all the tircha he would have put in to sell all the bottles of wine. Gemara then says, v'lo amran, this is only true, elo delo shani bebirza. He didn't change anywhere the opening of the barrels. He did exactly like the packaging said. If you do anything wrong, you don't get a credit. He opened the bottle where it's supposed to open. Aval shani bebirza lo. If he made a second or a change in the way the bottle gets open, so that would be considered a pshia on the part of the chenvani, in which case the chenvani would be responsible to pay, I'm not sure, all the damages or some of the damages. And then the Gemara further says, "V'lo amrin elo de lo mati yom deshuka." And the only way that the chenvani is off the hook is also if the day of the shuk hasn't come yet. But of al mati yom deshuka, if the marketplace was open, lo, and he didn't go out and do the tircha like he was supposed to do, he didn't work hard and hustle to sell all the bottles of wine, so it held on to into possession, stayed a little bit longer than it was supposed to. So then that would be considered a pshi on behalf of the chenvani, and there too the chenvani would be responsible for some, if not all, of the hefset. The Gemara now says, last five lines of the Amud here, Amar Rava Haiman de Kabal Chamra Daita de Mapte le Parvasa de Vavel Shafat. A guy takes upon himself to bring wine, to sell wine, till it gets to this place called Parvasa de Vavel Shafat. So along the way, what happens is, Udamte Hasan, before it gets to that place, Zal, it goes down, it goes cheaper. So whose responsibility is this? So is it me, I'm the shliach trying to transport it to this place? Am I responsible for any of the decrease in value? Or no, it's the baal bayis, the wholesaler, it's his loss. So the Gemara answers, dinahu de makabale. It makes sense that the wholesaler should be responsible because the chenvani who's going to schlep it to this other place, he didn't get to that place. He's not allowed to sell it until he gets to that place. So there's nothing he could have done. Even though he saw that the markets were going down, the value was being lost, he did not have the rishus to sell it until he got to that place. So the chenvani is not responsible and the chenvani is off the hook. So that's what happens. But let's say the Gemara asks you, "Bailu have a chalamai." But let's say it turned to vinegar. When it comes to the market value going down, that's not his. He's nothing to do with that. The market change. But if it turns to vinegar, there is some level of responsibility. Maybe he didn't put it in the proper refrigerators and he left it out in the sun. So maybe in this case, if it turned to vinegar before it got to this place where he was able to sell it, maybe there would be some level of responsibility on this chenvani. So the Gemara answers, "Amar le Rav Hillel le Rav Ashi." Kihava Bei Rav Kana, when I was in the house of the base measure of Rav Kana, Amalan, he says to us, Chala lo. If it turns into vinegar, no. What does no mean? Rashbam says five lines up, Chala lo, that Kilomar, lo mikabel bal hayayin kol hefset. He doesn't take upon himself all the loss. V'afagav de command Amalay le mikvadami, v'bar le lishio, even though it's as if, since he had to get to another place, it's going to take time to get to New York City. It says, if they, you know, they stipulated that I want to use it slowly because it's going to take time to get there, even though he's not really using it slowly, it's just the idea of there's going to be some time passing here. Still, Mishum Demazel Shnei Abaylim Gorim. They're both responsible here. If it turns to vinegar, when wine, when the price goes down, there's no mazel. That's just the market. When the particular bottle of wine goes bad, that's a mazel. That's the pasuk where it says again, "Gever yahir v'lo yinveh," where it's the beged, the af yain boged. That's about mazel. So since there's a certain time lapse where the shliach is transporting it, both mazalos are taken into account here, and they're both somewhat responsible when it comes to the vinegar. That's the understanding of the Bei Rav Kahana. Udelo Kabiosi Bechanina, not like Kabiosi Bechanina, who said it all depended on whose bottles it was on. This is like Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, that depends on mazel. But then the Gemara says, Ikadami, there is another version of what Rav Kahana said in the base message there. He says, Afil Chala, Nami. Even if it turns to vinegar, it's all the responsibility of the wholesaler. Why? Because Bekman Kabiosi Bechanina, that since it remained in the bottles of the Mocher, so the Mocher is still responsible, and the Chenvani would be off the hook completely. Okay, the Gemara now says Yashin Mishel Ishtakid. If you said I'm selling you old wine, it means from last year. If I'm selling you Yain Meyushan, it means from the year prior. So the Gemara says in a few lines on the top of Tzadi Chesmen Beis, he says, Tana U'miyashan V'holech Ad Chag. If you say the word Miyashan, it means I want to last until Sukkot. Rashbam says, Tana Heichad Amalei Miyushan. When you ask for Miyushan, which is a 3 years old wine, Tzarech Shehe Kol Sholosh Shanim Shleimos, has to be a full 3 years. U'sheitz Kayim also has to be able to last. U'she U'viyis Yashin, and age ad gemar shana shlish, until the completion of the third year, which is when dainu ad achag, until sukkis ad abatzir kshizu haya toras miyushan leskayim shalosh shanim shleimos, because sukkis time is when they collect all the grapes to begin the process of the winemaking. So I want 3 years old, so it has to be able to last until the third sukkis cycle. Okay, Gemara now says new Mishnah. A person sells a house to his friend, or a guy receives a house from his friend, wants to build a little house, little chasen kala apartment for his son, or he has a daughter who became widowed, so for her to come back live at home, but not in the house, maybe a little side house nearby, a little apartment nearby. So the Mishnah tells us, Bone arba amos shal shesh divrei Rabbi Akiva. So when you request a house for Beis Chasnas or Beis Almanus, it's only for one or two people. There's no kids yet. So then the minimum size is 4x6, which is not very big. 4x6 could be around, I don't know, 6x9 feet. It's a size of a small room. So that's according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel, look at Rashbam for a second. Rashbam says, "Lasas lo beis chasas livno k'd mefarish l'kame beis chasas livno shalakach isha, a son who just got married. B'derech ha'av lasas livno yitzia katan samach lebeis." So it was a customary that the father would, the responsibility of the father, not the responsibility of the wife, the kala's father, but really the chasin father, would build a small little house. Remember the word yitzia we had was like a small little shed. We had that a few months ago. A small little shed for the new chasin kala to live in. Why? She'ein derech ha'chasin ladur etzel chamav mishum chshad chamoso. It's not appropriate, we'll see in the Gemara won't elaborate, but based on other Gemaras, that the chasin, it was inappropriate for the chasin to live in his father-in-law's house because of the mother-in-law. There's a concern of perhaps a relationship they're building, either because they're going to znus between the mother-in-law and the son-in-law, or because we're concerned that the son-in-law is going to steal all the money away because the mother-in-law wants to make him very happy. You're part of the family. I'm going to buy you this. I'm going to buy you that. So those are two reasons why the Gemara says a son-in-law should not live in the same house as the mother-in-law, father-in-law. You should have a separate apartment on the side. It's also very, it's much better shalom bias for everyone involved there. Fine. What? That's in essence what the Gemara is saying. Fine. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah rather says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Refes Bakarhi, you're giving the Chasen and Kala a 4x6 room. It's what you keep cattle in, not what you keep people in. So, I wrote to Lasos Refes Bakar, Bona Dal Amos Al Sheshu. A person wants to build a Refes Bakar, it's 4x6. That's not what you build for a Chasen and Kala apartment. A person wants a base spice cotton, a small house. A small house means Shesh Al Ches. You make an agreement with a contractor, I want a small house. So he says, okay, a small house. You look in the Gemara, Baset Tzadi Ches, that means I'm going to build for them a 6x8 house. God, I want a large house. That means Shmon Al Eser, not comparable to any of our houses, but an 8x10, that would be considered a larger house. And a Choklin, which is a significant, that's almost like a mansion, that's Yud Al Yud, a 10x10. And Rome, how high, we only spoke about the dimensions on the area, on the floor, how high did such houses have to be. So the Mishnah says the principle is Roma, the height is kechatzi arkova kechatzi rachbo. If you add up the area, the perimeter rather, so then half of that. So what does that mean? So look at the Rashbam, just as some quick math for us. The last narrow line of the Rashbam, he says, Romo kechatzi v'chule, akule kai, he's referring to all the different houses we had, a refes bakar, a bayis katan, a bayis katan, a traklam. Hainu, beis chasnas, shu archo dal vav, 4x6, Romo hey. You add the 4 and 6, one of the sides up, meaning two of the sides, one length, one width, that's a total of 10. Slice that in half, that's 5. So the hainu chatzi arko v'chatzi rachbo, the half the height of the sum of the width and the length. That's what it is. And for bayis katan, which as we said was 6x8, so 6x8 is 14, and half would be 7, amos high. And then for a choklin with 10x10, that's 20, half of that would be 10. That's the height of a choklin. Rashbam points out that a traklin is, I'm going back up to the Rashbam earlier, is a traklin was a moshav sarim asui v'lola tashmis. It was a place for the ministers to kind of sit. It wasn't really meant for use, maybe like a living room that people wouldn't go into, just to sit in a couch, but not really so much activity there. And hilkach ruba ba'ina, it needed to be square. I'm not sure why this square has to line up with the moshav sarim. Maybe that maximized space for sitting area, I guess, and it wasn't meant to be used, but that's what a traklin was. Okay, so the Gemara now says, I didn't finish the Mishnah yet. The Rai Ladavar, the proof for all this, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kibinyan Hahechel, like the building of the Beis Hamikdash, that's the proof. Look at the Rashbam, two Y lines down, Kibinyan Hahechel, Hahechel al Pnei HaDvir, Hayarcho Mem, V'rachbo Esrim. The width and length of the Beis Hamikdash was 40 by the Mishkan, was 40 by 20. That's a total of 60. The Heichal was a certain area, not including the Kodesh Kodashim. So it's 40 by 20, that's 60. And the Rumo Shloshim, and the height of the Mishkan was only 30. Dehainu Chatzi Arka Chatzi Rachba. So just like the base of the Mishkan, the height was half the width plus the length. So too, that's the same halacha when it comes to all these different measurements in the Mishnah. Okay, the Gemara now says, Lamali Lamisna Beis Chasis Livno, Ubeis Almanus Labita. Why do we say a house for your son and a house for your daughter? Why not listen? Beis Chasis Livno Levita. Why not build a house for both your son who gets married and for your daughter who gets married? Why is only the son getting such treatment? And why is it Beis Almanus Livno Levito? Why only when the daughter gets widowed does she come back home and build her house? But what if the son loses his wife? Maybe he shows her the house back to live in. So Gemara says, Mils Agav Orchei Kamashwam, we're teaching us some very important point here. De la Darecha de Chasna Lemeidar Bei Chamua, that it's inappropriate for the son to live in the house of his father-in-law, as we said in the on the Mishnah, the Rashbam said, because of the relationship of the mother-in-law and son-in-law, either because of Znus or because of stealing, taking all the money away. So Rashbam just explains here. Look at Rashbam four lines down. Bechamua kedamrinu b'psachim kufyud gimel have zahir bishcha mimchasna harishon. Very last parak in psachim. A person should be very very careful. Have keep a watchful eye from your first son-in-law and your own wife. Amrile mishim chshad. Some say because of chshad, like I mentioned. Amrile others say because mishim mamon. Vishalaha, they're both true. The Gemara says we have to be concerned of both elements. Umiu hu hadin l'chala chasanim. Even though the Gemara says the first son-in-law, you have to be careful with all your sons-in-laws. Elishimin harishon tzarech lizar chamiv Yosef. And the first one, you have to be extra careful. That's the mother-in-law is going to like the most because she's the first one her daughter is getting married to. All the other ones she won't like as much, but at the same time, the father-in-law has to be very, very careful. So when they come back, live in the house, so you have to keep them far away. I see some faces in the crowds here. So others.
We can all benefit from that. School that you should be most liked.
Okay, there's an interesting din. Tosas writes, the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Yud Gimel says that Yud Beis rather that Rav was menade chasan shayadar bebeis chamav. If a chasan, a son-in-law, lived in the house of his father-in-law, he would actually send him into a nidu, into a chayrim. And others say naharda, they would say no, he wasn't menade. He wouldn't. Look up upon these people, but he wouldn't send them out into a chayrim. The Tosas writes, nowadays, apparently, in the times when by Tosas lived, the chasanim would oftentimes live in their father-in-law's and mother-in-law's houses. So they must be somech and nahardai, that the Rav would not be menade, would not send people into chayrim for doing this. And he adds further that also nowadays, Tosas writes, and this would be true as well when we live nowadays, that they would live in the house of their in-laws because it was beneficial for everybody, but certainly for the son-in-law and daughter-in-law, they wouldn't have to pay any rent here. They didn't pay rent. They'd be able to get free groceries and free shopping, all these benefits. And it's clear they're living there not to build a relationship with the in-laws, chas v'shalom. It's there to save some money so they could someday build a house on their own. That's what's brought down in Tosfos. And the post can talk about this as well. So it seems nowadays this din wouldn't apply. Thank goodness, otherwise I would have violated this three separate times in my life. But this din is no longer the case. Okay. The Gemara says now as follows. So again, the Gemara says, "Kamash Malam." We learn from here that "Delo Darche Dechasna LeMeider BeChamu." It's inappropriate for the son-in-law to live in the house of the mother-in-law. "Kedechsev BeSefer Ben Sir." That's written in Ben Sir. Ben Sir is written by a person by the name of Yeshua Ben Sir. He lived in the times of Shimon HaTzadik, and there's a machlokas in the Gemara of Achelik whether or not this, what type of sefer was it? Davar Kedusha? Was it one of the types of svarim that you shouldn't be learning? So either way, even those who say that this is a davar sfam hachitzonim that one shouldn't learn, there are certain messages that are in Ben Sira that we can actually learn from. So this is one of the few places in Shas where we quote from the sefer called Ben Sira, and it says as follows: Hakol shakalti bekaf maznaim, I had taken everything, I weighed everything on scales. From atasi kal, I didn't find anything as disgraceful as lowly misubin from subin. Subin's we said was the brand. Ran from the wheat, that's like the lowest, okay, not sure that, but it's very inferior. And the kal and the subin, that which is less, more inferior than that from subin, is chasan hadar bebeis chamov. So this is number two on the list. I'm not really getting the subin thing, but again, I don't appreciate that. But number two on the list of worst things to do is a chasan who lives in the house of his father-in-law. The kal mechasan, the less than that, is, I'm sorry, that we're going down now. We're going like the bottom five. So now getting the worst is kal mechasan, is a oreach machnis oreach. A guest comes over and says, oh, by the way, I brought another guest with me. So it's enough that the host is hosting you, but to have you schlep another guest without informing him, that's pretty disrespectful to do that. The kal me'orech, and less than that, worse than that, is meishiva davar b'term yishma, to answer a question before you even hear the question. Let the guy finish what he's saying. Shenemar, they quote a pasuk, it says, meishiva davar, this is in pasuk in Mishlei, meishiva davar b'term yishma, a person answers before he hears, ivelet hi la uchlima. It's ivelet, it's an idiot, and it's embarrassing. The Ritva says, the explanation is, because perhaps he's going to be... And it shows about Gaiva that he's not willing to wait for the rest of the question. Number two is he'll be embarrassed because he's probably going to answer the wrong question. What he thinks is going to be the question won't in fact be the question, and then there'll be klima, there's going to be embarrassment. So that's worse from all of these things, not to let the guy finish his question prior to giving an answer. Hey, Gemara now says, Rabbi Yishmael Omer Refes Bakar Hi Zu Harot Telasa. So he says a 4x6 dimension bias is what you keep cattle in, not what you keep people in. So Refes Bakar Man Katanila. So the Mishnah had said this line that Harot Telasa Refes Bakar Bone Dal Amos Al Shesh. So the Mishnah didn't present this as a continuation per se. So the Gemara wants to know who made this statement. So the Gemara says, Ikadama Rabbi Yishmael Katanila. Some could say this is a continuation of Rabbi Shmuel's statement. When he said that a 4x6 is for Refes Bakar, it's his continuation. Another says, no, Rabbi Akiva, Ikadama Rabbi Akiva Katanila, Rabbi Akiva from the Reisha. So the Gemara explains it, speaks it out. And the Gemara says, Ikadama Rabbi Akiva Katanila. Some say Rabbi Akiva said this. V'hachi kamar, he said as follows, you're right, Afapi, Refes Bakar, he, even though a 4x6 is typically the size of a Refes Bakar, sometimes people are willing to live in such huts that are only the size of a refes bakar. Vikadamer, others say Rabbi Shmuel Katanila. He's the one who authored this. V'hachi kamar, and he said, Sharot telasas refes bakar oser abra amos al sheish. He says, Rabbi Kiva, you can't make a base chasnas of 4x6 because that's the size of a refes bakar, and no one would ever live in that. So those are two ways to read this line of a refes bakar is a 4x6. Gemara now says, Traklin Yud al Yud, my Traklin, what exactly is a Traklin? Kovsa Bey Varde. Rashbam says halfway down the wide lines, Nosin Sham Viradin, Lenoi Listakaban. You'd have roses and flowers in a little garden they would have to enjoy. That's what a Traklin is. And if you make an agreement to build a Traklin, it means it should be 10x10 amos. Tani v'kantir, if you're going to build a kantir, that's shtemasrei al shtemasrei. It's 12x12. My kantir, tarbitz afdani. Rashbam says tarbitz afdani is chatzer gadol, a large courtyard. Shosin sarim mitzad afdani shalahem, they'd make next to their large mansion. Valshem shemar bitzin osan tamid b'mayim, they'd oftentimes water the garden. B'mayim lahashkiv ha'avak karele tarbitz, in order to get rid of all the dirt. It was an area, it seems to me like a nice garden to walk around in the backyard or in the side yard to just hang out. That's what kantir is, 12x12. Then the Gemara says in the two dots, the Romi kechati arka kechati rachbo raila davar rashbag omer kibinin ha'hecha. The Mishnah said that. So what is raila davar? Man katanila. Who is the one who said this is a raila davar? That we said that the Mishkan is a raya, is a proof that the height has to be this ratio to half of the width plus the length. Who says this? So the Gemara says ikadamar rashbag katanila v'hachi kamar. Some say Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the author of this, and he says as follows. Raya davar minayin. We add the word nahadi. What's the proof that the height should be such a relationship to the width and the length? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hakol kabina heichal. Everything here is learned out from the heichal. So just like the heichal was the height, it's half the width and the length. So too, when it comes to these dimensions of a regular bias, a bias katan, a bias gadol, a chaklam, it also has to have that same ratio. However, there are ikadami, others said differently. The Tanakama katanila. Tanakama says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, atmui kametame. And he's just he's bewildered as to such a proof. V'halchi kamerle, the Tanakama. So the Tanakhama says, and the proof is from the Mishkan. So it comes along now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says, Raya minayin mi binyan heichal? You're learning from binyan heichal? Atu kuli amav ki binyan heichal avti? Every house is going to be built like the heichal? Certainly not. So what kind of proof is that? And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel does not lay down what a shear of a height is. He just questions the proof, but doesn't really say what his own opinion is, how the height should be.
It gets to the point where the house is so big that we have to build a skyscraper.
Right. Well, that's right. If you continue to grow this way, right. Right, that's true.
I guess it's, I don't know exactly what they meant,
The psak is, it seems from this, we paskin based on the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, we do paskin that the height is this relationship. Now, again, it's a kol kaminak amadina, though. If you, I imagine, live in a place where they don't do that. Right.
If you're a huge house, we'd have to build, 100-foot ceiling.
And it's, right. And it's rarely the case that the house would not be the height. I don't think it would ever be half the height. Could it?
No, it's impossible. I mean, if you have a house that it's 50 by 50, right?
So that means it has to be 50 feet high also.
It has to be 50 feet high.
It could happen, no?
I'm sure there are plenty of people.
I mean, it could happen from a point of view if you have a few floors.
In Brooklyn, the narrow house in Brooklyn, so then you're going to get the height.
Right, so I guess right. Somehow for small houses, it works out.
Right.
For big houses.
And I think about learning this tomorrow, there are people paying a lot of money for Rav Spoker.
Rav Spoker.
in the city, you may have been a Rav Spoker.
Fine. Right now, it says last six lines of the Yomid here. Tanya, Achayim, Omer, Mother say, the Romo is Kikarosov. The height is different than what the Mishnah said. The height's like the beams. What does kikarosav mean? So Rashbam says that k'orech kikarosav shein nisunim berachva shabayis. The beam's going across. So I don't know exactly what the calculation here is. It sounds like me just the width, I think, without the length.
Right, it would seem that it's one.
Just one width, which would be small, which would be more in accordance with what we have, which would probably be similar. Just one direction.
Also probably makes sense that it's the shorter side, because why would somebody put beams on the longer side?
That's Shirosa, right. That's Shirosa.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. So the Gemara says, "Ibayis lema Romo kirachvo." Why not just say the height's like the width? Why say like the beams? Just the width. There's just an easy way. That's what we've been talking about: orech versus rochav. So why speak of the beams on the ceiling? So ibayis lema besa meila ravcha. So some say because the house is wider on the top. Why is that? So Rashbam explains here: ma meila ravach shebateim shel chomos avanim hayu. They're made of stone. The walls. And vachoma milmata hirachva is wider on the bottom to keep it more stable. As you go up, they'd be narrower. Polechos miskaseres hachoma lamala kadeshish kaim harbe. So the beams will actually be longer on the top than on the bottom. The bottom, you measure the inside of the walls, there's going to be less area to work with, but as you get higher.
Depends if you take from the inside or the outside, I guess.
That's true also, I guess. But we're saying here it's wider. It's long. The koros are longer than the rachav.
Right, so the question
it must be the insides.
Yeah. No, because what they probably were doing is they were doing the house straight from the outside, and in the inside, that's where they did the scaling, maybe.
Could be.
It wouldn't make any sense. But that's the only way that would explain.
Why can't they do both them, outside, go like that?
It would be wider.
Like that, and this one, the outside has a little slant.
Right, so also. They would, but then it wouldn't. The inside would be the same as the bottom and then the top.
No, because the top would be, just the point would be from here to there, but the inside would be only here. Because it's slanted.
Right. You mean they were slanting it on both sides?
Yeah.
You're centering it as you go up.
But they were centering. Not.
Right.
I understand. Okay.
So if you measure, it must be measuring on the inside where the rachav is shorter, but the top goes like that, the beams are going to be longer. That's why they said korosav as opposed to the rachav. So I think ours is another suggestion why they use the koros, the beams, as the measure. Ibayzema mishumdika be kave. What's Beit Kavi? Rashbam says Hachalonos. There are some windows. Makom Knisas Hakoros B'soch Hachoma. There's some windows where the beams would go in. So I guess that would make it a little bit longer. The beams would go into the walls as opposed to measuring from the walls, and therefore we gained a little bit more height in using the Koros as the measurement. Gemara now says, we'll just read a few lines here and then on to the next page, and then we'll stop. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina, Nafik Lukriyasi, went out to the city once, and Rami Lakrai, he threw two psukim, he had a contradiction of two different psukim. Ahadati next to each other. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Vabayis Hashem Banu HaMelech Shlomo, the house that Shlomo built, Lashem, to Hashem, based on English, in other words, Shishim Amma Arko, Vesim Rachba, was 60 by 20, Vishloshim Amma Kamaso, and the height was 30. Uksiv, it's written elsewhere, V'lefnei hadvir esim ama v'orech, v'esim ama racham, referring to the Kodesh Kedoshim, v'esim ama kamaso. So here the height is only 20, referring to the Kodesh Kedoshim. Earlier the pasuk said that the height is 30. So is it 30 or is it 20? So Rabbi Chanina went out and he darshaned to the city. Ki kachashiv misfas kruvim ulamala. We only counted when he spoke about the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Lefnei Advir, when he said it's only 20 amos high. He's referring to 20 amos from the top of the wings of the Kruvim, the 10 amos from the floor until the tops of the Kruvim. That, for whatever reason, he didn't consider. He only counted from the top of the wings to the roof, which is 20 amos, as opposed to the other prosek referred to 30 amos from the floor to the ceiling, and they are consistent.
These are the Kruvim that Shlomo added, not the ones from the Aron HaKodesh, right? I remember that Shlomo...
He did also. But no, I think referring to, because we're going to see next, on the next page, I'm referring to in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and how...
I think he put two large Kruvim between, on top. No, he added that it wasn't the Mishkan.
He added, but why would it be his versus Moshe Rabbeinu's, though?
Why would this be his?
What would the difference be?
Here it says, "Me'achar shakrumi beit amigdash shlomo hayu gvoim eser amot in purpose of hatu b'mitzvah shelo haya me'alei me'irach ala." Because the kruvim in the I think were much lower. The kruvim in the I think he added two kruvim on each side of the
another
of the
two.
Aron. Now the point is, he said the kruvim were on the floor as opposed to on the aron. Moshe's kruvim were on the aron, that took more space than the 10 amos. That would be like 20 amos high. Referring to the Kruvim that he had stationed, that you said he stationed on the ground. There's no Aron below it. It's just on the ground.
Because these are
separate?
He added two Kruvim, Kruvim, additional from the two, from the one that were
So those other Kruvim were 10 amos high and 20 amos from the height. But Moshe's, which was on top of the Aron on the step, those are even higher. Yeah, those stayed, but those were high. That would be a less difference.
He had four Kruvim
in
the
Kruvim.
He added also a bunch of menorahs and a bunch of shulchanos as well in there.
No.
Next to the Shulchan, there was like, I remember, 5 and 5 maybe, and next to the menorah, there's 5 and 5. I remember maybe 6 and 6. Fine. So Gemara now just says, we'll finish off here. Mike Kamash Lem, what are we learning from a whole year? Kamash Malan, going into Tali Test, that Limata Kilamala, that below is like above. What does it mean, below is like above? Mala Mala, Ein Mishamish Klum, just like above the Kruvin, there was no use, it was airspace. So after mata ein mishamish klum. So to below there is no airspace either. There is nothing. There is nothing to be used. It didn't. What it means is, we'll see tomorrow, it didn't take up any space. And there's b'neis hayu, that the aron and the kruvim all was b'neis, and it didn't really. That's what means ein mishamish. And we'll
even with the second thing, it's a bigger neis.
The
original kruvim, that's the whole svar, that's all part of the aron. Right, from the bottom of the aron to the top of the aron.
Right.
And it didn't take up any space. But now you're adding another two kruvim.
Right, but I think the space is referring to the height.
And the width of the
aron. I'm not sure of the width. We'll see that tomorrow. The guards won't explain the different shirim tomorrow. But certainly with the height. Our concern right now is the height.
Right.
I don't know if the width also is...
Isn't that the whole idea? The Kodesh Kodesh was the parameters. Mm-hmm. They say the aron's parameters. And then you ask, how could it be?
Yeah, that's tomorrow's daf. We're going to go through that.
Okay. It seems that they're making a picture that they were put on a diagonal.
That's a Rashbam stuff on the bottom here, on the bottom left, in the Rashbam. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow.